It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house.
And this is a pretty good time to buy a house. Price is down 8% month over month from June to July, Brian.
Yeah.
Havasu.
Yeah. You're definitely seeing, you know, the price cut listings, you know, happen on Zillow and MLS.
According to Bobby Lewis, seven properties sold for under $300,000 in July, which is the first time in a long time been that many or any. Anyway, welcome to Speak Out. It is Thursday, August 28th, 2025, and we are broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink and Moss Snacks. There's a lot of snacks over there. See that?
Yeah, I like snacks.
Lots. Oreos.
Ooh, I see some things I'm going to make my way over and maybe sample.
Yep, double stuff. They're good. They're excellent.
What is the stuff in an Oreo? Like,
I don't know. Marissa doesn't like it. You don't like it?
Oh, it's delicious.
Right.
But it's...
Oh, it's got a...
It's, yeah. I mean, it's not real food.
I would think if you ate that for...
I don't know what it is.
If you ate five Oreos a day for, I don't know, 6 months, you would probably have a really bad carotid artery problem. You think?
No.
No, because...
There's only one way to find out, man.
Because of the stuff. Anyway, this is Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. We get on the weirdest topics sometimes.
Well, yeah, because we're weird.
So we had NAU ASU tickets, ASU hosting NAU tomorrow night. I was hoping to get that, or Saturday night. I was hoping to get that on the sports station, but just too much conflict with the Diamondbacks. They start, like, I don't know, an hour apart. So that's a tough one. Yeah,
and it's lots going on, lots to choose from.
Mountain America Stadium, of course. And anyway, we do have other tickets. We've been giving them away for 2 days now. This is day three. Fleetwood Mac versus Tom Petty, a musical showdown, and it's December 26th through the 30th, Fiesta Showroom at Harrah's Laughlin. And we've given away five pair already, but we still have 10 left. 10 pair.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. So we are being very generous. And
yeah, give away.
The callers have, the listeners have renewed my faith in them. So I was kind of losing faith, as Tracy would tell you. That's like, you know, no one ever calls. No one loses. I'm Whiny Boy Lavoie off the air, by the way.
Oh, my God.
That's my fantasy football team, Whiny Boy Lavoie. I whine about everything, the rules, the players, all of it.
Wow. I'm sure you're definitely the first one invited to those drafts. Like, who can't wait to get Paul here?
That's a great name. But anyway.
It is.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so we have 10 pair left. Call the office. Marissa June will take your call. It's 928-855-9336. She's got the phone, the ringer blasted just so she can hear it back in the production studio where she's doing a lot of work. Thursday's like her busy day. If you can believe
it. Just because she's got a lot going on.
No, it's because of weekend programming. So anyway, Brian Springberg is here. You'll be here until 11:45-ish.
Okay, and then I get the boot.
Coach Thompson's going to be on.
Man. Oh, well.
It's his last.
Understandable.
He says it's his last season.
Oh, okay.
He You're says. Not buying it? But tomorrow at the NAU Walk-Up Sky Dome will be the Havasu Fighting Knights at 1 p.m. against Gila Ridge, the Hawks.
Okay.
And yeah. And Steve and I will drive up tomorrow morning, and we're going to broadcast the game on 980 a.m., and you can stream live at kntrsports.com and hear the Fighting Knights on their way, hopefully, to victory against Gila Ridge. So that'll be cool. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, though.
Wow.
That's got to be weird for the players.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, they're used to not doing that then, right?
I don't know. I think what I would do is go into conditioning with my players and make sure they're, you know, starting at around 1 at practice. If I could, you know, get them in the gym or something. Get them in there early.
So
when it's the heat, when it's the heat of the day, that would be tough, you know?
So, yeah.
Anyway, okay. Let's switch to Wall Street.
Yeah. What's going on in Wall Street?
What's happening at on the S&P 500?
Yeah. So currently what we're seeing is markets are up just slightly today. The NASDAQ rebounding from yesterday, but overwhelmingly hitting all-time highs or reaching thereabouts again. The big news this week thus far was NVIDIA, you know, the largest company in the world now, right? But AI, focused company, reported their earnings after closing trading hours yesterday. And they beat most expectations, but maybe not in the way that everybody was kind of hoping. So the end result of it was, it wasn't like a huge boon for the markets, nor was it a drag on the markets. And so overwhelmingly, we still kind of remain positive. So the markets remain extremely strong, extremely resilient, and very positive thus far. And so they're pricing in, as we've discussed, the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates come in their September meeting, and that decision will be solidified if we continue to see some weakening jobs reports, mostly, and as long as inflation remains under control and stable, we can expect those things to happen. May or may not have a direct effect on residential mortgage rates, because we kind of brought that up at the beginning of the show, will definitely have a positive effect on commercial interest rates, since they are tied to the prime rate, you know, the federal funds rate for businesses. Business, you know, if you're going to take a loan out for business purposes. So, or I should say commercial real estate. So, you know, so there are definitely some positive things happening in that way. Internationally, things are still flourishing as well. Hopefully you have some diversification in that area of your portfolio. What I thought I'd talk about today, because it's very fresh in my mind, is an understanding of how you as an investor should be able to differentiate between an advisor that you're with and if you're considering a new advisor. Sometimes that happens because people move, right? So I had a client, she literally had the rich uncle story.
Really?
You know, you hear about it, but you never see it, right? Okay, well, her rich uncle died and left her a fairly substantial sum. She also had her mom passed, and you know, and it's kind of sad, actually, just some loss in her life, but it's resulted in some substantial assets coming her way, and she had some of her assets on the East Coast, some of her assets in Vegas, you know, the old money managers from her uncle and her parents. And so she wanted local representation.
This was Vegas money?
And so she
interesting.
Ended up, you know, interviewing me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one, consolidation, you know, have a local advisor. Two, consolidate accounts, because, you know, to make sure that she could still maintain diversification, but there wasn't a reason to have so many accounts under the same registration. And then I also had another client who has an advisor in California, and they've been in Havasu for some time, and they were looking for some thoughts and insights. And so what you are looking for as an investor is somebody who can explain to you why you are in the things you're in, or why the things you're in aren't conducive to what you personally are trying to achieve with your money. You know, conservative growth, aggressive growth, current income, future income, tax planning, liquidity, you know, all the things, right? And then, well, why are you making certain decisions? And what I did was several things. And so one of them was a risk return study. And so I got to use a plotted scattergram, or I should say my computer figured that one out. So if you input a bunch of data, so here's all of their holdings, and they had a lot of holdings. And what I did was there was a program that has, you know, I'm going to get a little, you know, I don't know.
Techie?
Is it geography or I'm sorry, geography? You know, is it focused on, you know, really geometry? Is it focused on these comparisons? And really the axes were risk as measured by something called standard deviation, which sure. just means the differences between the highs and the lows. How much volatility? How crazy is the ride? How big is the roller coaster, ups and downs, as markets change? And then compared that to risk.
You're taking me back to college statistics.
I know,
here.
Sorry.
It's great.
Eric. But what makes it, you know, interesting, what you're looking for is how can I keep it where I'm on the lower part of the diagram on the risk side? Like, my percentage of risk and difference between the highs and the lows is as low as possible, meaning the volatility is lower. But on the other side of the graph, the other axis is making money. I want that to be as high as possible. So I want it to be where my risk is as low as possible relative to return. And when I did that, it enabled me to explain to my potential new client, here's the parts of your portfolio that are great for a risk-return comparison, because they're taking relatively low risk on this side, but the returns are above average, and that's what we're looking for. And we also identified about six of their allocations that were not good, meaning that they were on the high risk, the high standard deviation, way more volatility, yet their returns were below average.
Oh, what? Really?
So when you're taking more risk, that can be okay if it fits you and what you're trying to do and your time frame and your tolerances and all that. But it can't be that you're taking more risk but not getting value, meaning you're not making more money for the extra risk you're taking over time. Don't judge it quarter by quarter or even year over year, but over time, 5 year, 7 year, 10 year periods. And it was really illuminating for the client, I think, because, or potential client, because they were seeing, oh, okay, here's how this guy is looking at it, and here's some tweaks we can make to make sure that we're doing fine. And if you've been a longtime listener on the show, then you know that I use three main criteria with every decision or every recommendation that I make for a client: risk and return, and then, of course, fees. And risk return, to drive this point home, a different analogy, I have the cocktail story analogy. You're having cocktails, you're in the pool, you're, you know, in somebody's living room, you're in the kitchen, where the party's always in the kitchen, right?
Mm.
And somebody who I guess is kind of boring at parties says to you, my portfolio's up 16%.
Mm.
And you, because you're an avid listener to the show, say, wow, that's great. Do you know how much risk you took to achieve that? And of course, you're going to get most of the time a pretty blank stare.
Crickets.
Back. Or you, because you follow these things, will say, wow, that's great. But unfortunately, the S&P 500's up 22%.
Mm.
You're up 16. Well, 16's pretty good, but is it because you're taking 35% less risk in your portfolio than the S&P 500? So you should only be making 16. In other words, you shouldn't be making 22 if you're taking way less risk than the index that you're comparing to. And that's where you start getting into the weeds, because one portfolio making 16% isn't necessarily better than a portfolio making 15%. Because if the portfolio making 1% less at 15% takes 30% less risk to do it, that means when the market corrects, you're going to go down 30% less, and you're going to be way better off than the portfolio that happened to make 16% that year. And now is when we throw in the other layer of cost, fees. Fees are, what is your advisor charging you?
Right.
Fees are, what are the individual investments, if they're in mutual funds or exchange-traded funds, what are they charging you inside of the investment itself? And then finally, taxes. Those are your cost. And so I did a cost analysis study, and I said, okay, on your statement, it told me exactly what your advisor is charging you, 1% or 1.15% or 1.25 or whatever it was. And then I went in to every single one of their mutual fund or exchange traded funds. And anybody can do this, by the way. You go to Yahoo Finance, put in the ticker symbol, it brings it up, and it'll tell you in there's a list of like 12 different things. One of them's called expense ratio. That's the internal cost of that investment. And then I was like, okay, well, if I put all of their expense ratios down for the portfolio and kind of average that out, their average expense ratio is 0.51 or 0.62 or 0.32 or whatever it is. And so if I take 1% advisor fee, add the internal expense ratio, that's what it's costing them a year to own that investment. Then I say, okay, here's the funds I use, their expense ratios, and here's my fee. And it was mind-blowing. Listen to this, Paul. This is going to
blow.
And see if I'm going to remember this pretty well. And I use the Securities Exchange Commission. So it's SEC.gov. So it's not like some subjective company or somebody. You know, it's the government's website. They have something called the mutual fund cost calculator, and you can put in information, like only 5 or 6 pieces of information, and it'll help you figure out how much your fees are mm-hmm. over an extended period of time, and how much your lost earnings on those fees, had they not been taken out, are over that same period of time. That's your actual cost.
That's interesting.
So listen to this. The difference over a 25-year period of time,
mm-hmm.
an average rate of return of 10%, same.
Not bad.
And this is for illustrative purposes only. And a portfolio that charges 1.25% a year on $1 million growing 10% over 25 years, and a different portfolio with the same exact criteria, except instead of 1.25% a year, charges 1% a year.
Oh.
The difference in cost on $1 million is $500,000.
On a quarter of a percent?
On a quarter of a percent.
Wow.
And the reason is that it's the fees. But, of course, the fees go up as the $1 million grows by 10% a year over 25 years.
It's exponential.
Because it grows to like $7.8 million or something.
Wow.
But also it's had all those fees not been taken out, how much you would have made? Now, you're going to pay fees, everybody. But the purpose of the illustration was, well, if your costs are less between what is the advisor charging you and what funds is the advisor recommending to you that have their own fees. And it was staggering to kind of see that in black and white. And the reason why that actually becomes even more germane is that it's not just, hey, you know, fees, you're going to pay people no matter what you do in this life if you're going to get expertise and value out of it. And you shouldn't mind paying more in fees if you have a portfolio that takes less risk than average or just average risk and makes more than average return over time. The worst case scenario is you're in a portfolio that takes more risk than average, makes less money than average or indexes over time, and they charge you more than average to do it. And there are lots of ways that a technical analysis that a competent advisor should be able to do that and provide for you. And that is one of the biggest things that you should be looking to when you look at any investment. And it doesn't have to be an investment with me. It can be real estate. It can be business, anything. What is my risk? What is my expected or real long-term return? And what is it going to cost me to do this at the end of the day? So with that, we're going to let Genesis take us into this first break of the hour. Just this, the old school Genesis. I know we've done this before. I don't know why it came to my mind, but yeah. I love it.
It's all good, man. I've been listening to, like I told you before the show, Pieces of Eight by Sticks.
Old Sticks.
I don't know why.
God, I had that album turned up.
I'm okay.
Of eighth grade.
I'm Okay came into my head, and then I realized that the best song on the album is Queen of Spades, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know? But you've got Renegade and the hits and
the classics.
Yeah. But anyway, classic Genesis, for sure, with Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins.
Yeah, Phil Collins not doing so well.
Not, oh, he's not.
I don't think so.
I saw video or pictures or something of him. He didn't look well, but I don't know if he didn't feel well.
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, when we come back, I thought I'd touch on is the new tact taking place of government ownership of private companies.
Oh, yeah.
U.S. government bought 10% of Intel stock.
Oh, wow.
U.S. government is a 10% owner of Intel.
Yeah, let's talk about the ramifications of that.
It's interesting.
Possible.
It's
right?
Interesting.
All right, back with more in a moment. You're listening to Speak Out. We have Fleetwood Mac versus Tom Petty, a musical showdown. It's a tribute. December 26th through the 30th in Fiesta Showroom at Harrah's Laughlin. Call the office. Marissa June is waiting for your call. 928-855-9336. Back with more in a moment, including Coach Thompson. 11:45. The D-backs are on, but I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag because people will switch over. So.
Oh, no.
Some people might.
Keep them hooked.
But it's you, so yeah.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
They're like, I can wait till the third inning. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back. Stillness to the air, though man-made light. Everything they did was catchy back then, right?
Yeah.
Everything.
Toe tapping.
Everything. It made it look, they just made it look easy. And I saw them in concert. They're phenomenal at the Thomas and Mac.
Oh, that's cool.
Chester Thompson played the whole show back on his kit. Phil's left-handed, so they put them facing each other when Phil would go back on the kit.
That's cool.
It was very cool.
Double drum, baby.
Right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Salmon's Air Conditioning by Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. And, of course, Springberg Wealth Management.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Right. I'm hoping some more people picked up those tickets because we already gave away 5 pair of tickets to that Fleetwood Mac Tom Petty musical showdown that's happening in December. That's going to be pretty cool.
Super cool.
Right. 928-855-9336. And Marissa June will pick up the phone and hook you up.
Nice.
All right.
So one of the reasons the markets have been resilient and kind of positive today, too, is that the federal government revamped its GDP, its, you know, our country's economic growth for the second quarter of this year to an annualized rate of 3.3%, which is kind of a surprise bump in the right direction. And so markets definitely have taken hold of that. The main thing this week that could influence markets is coming Friday, and that's going to be there's another inflation reading. And the reason why is that that will confirm that the Fed's going to be, lowering interest rates come September, or it could potentially put a wrinkle in that, which would not be very good for the markets if, in fact, it shows that inflation rose more than expected. So just so you know, those are the main things that are kind of happening that could drive the market more or less for the rest of the week. One of the biggest things out there, now that we've talked specific shop about investing and strategies and things like that, but just in interesting economic news, is that the federal government, the Trump administration, purchased 10% of Intel. And, you know, everybody knows Intel is one of the biggest computer chip manufacturers. And so the reasoning, the logic, is that it would allow Intel to increase productivity and allow Intel to, by doing that, would allow the U.S. to become, I guess, more self-sufficient for that, less reliant, is the intent on foreign chip makers out of Taiwan, China, etc. And so I like the intent personally, but boy, doesn't that open up a can of worms? And here's how I use this analogy. I always do this. I always say, you know, if I've got some friends that are, you know, very, you know, let's say that they were pro Biden or pro Obama, and they do something, and then I would say, well, imagine if Trump had done that, because of course they hate Trump, right? And I throw it, so like we'd go at it from this different direction. Imagine right now, forget your personal politics, listener, for a minute with President Trump. Let's say you're a big Trump supporter. Imagine if President Obama or Biden had proposed and instituted the U.S. government buying 10% of a private company. You would be losing your everlasting mind about those communists.
Sean Hannity would call the presidential cabinet the Politburo. He would.
Everybody else,
right?
And so it's funny how politics shades all of our perspectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
But think of what I'm saying, though. The federal government just bought 10% of a private U.S. company. And you could say, yeah, I like that, though, because it's good for U.S. security, whatever. Well, that would have been the same rationale that somebody from a different political party would have been doing it, right? It's just your interpretation, I guess, of those things. And while it may, in fact, have the positive repercussion of make us more self-sufficient, with the idea being more secure. It's for our country's security and defense and economic independence. But wouldn't that be the same exact things that Russia, to your example, Paul, would they be, it's for a stronger country. Our country will own the means of production, which is, you know, a communist.
And we were just talking about the New York City mayor's race.
The other side of groceries,
right?
Yeah, the New York City mayor's race, the proposed mayor who's a member of the Communist Party.
Right,
you know, whatever.
I think so.
Saying, hey, my platform is the city will help provide free groceries. Now, in a way, government already does that with food stamps, right, or whatever they call them now. But, you know, you might take a lot of exception to that. And the focuses are different. You're like, yeah, but on one hand, it's helping the country in defense, whatever. The other one's just the country giving away free stuff. But nevertheless, it's taxpayer dollars entering into some areas that have historically been verboten, off limits, you know, unforgivable to even think it. And what is the slippery slope of this, right? So many people would also say, and I don't think this is along party lines, politicians are not known to be, you know, necessarily all about the greater good. There's a lot of self-serving going on there.
Absolutely.
Most politicians, both parties, somehow miraculously exit their political life exceptionally more wealthy than they were before, or very soon thereafter with the lobbying positions that they get and, you know, whatever. So imagine how that becomes even more intertwined now. We did it, and they're looking to do it for other companies. So we're entering into some really slippery slope area, aren't we, about, well, it's the people who are going to okay this and do this are people in the absolute positions of power politically, and how that's going to be intertwined with the private sector becomes, you know, and to some extent, yeah, I'll agree. It's kind of been that way, and I've made that point, especially with defense companies, you know, Northrop Grumman and et cetera, about how it's miraculous how the Secretary of Defense or the Assistant Secretary of Defense, almost without exception, worked for a defense contractor before and or after they were done being the Secretary or Assistant Secretary of Defense for like the last 75 years. So the corruption is always kind of been known, but just to go out and do it puts us in a very different way, because how do you undo that? Where do you draw lines about? And then I was reading into it. I was like, okay, well, do they have voting rights? And it was like, yeah, they have. The U.S. government will have voting rights on a private company's board to determine the direction of that company.
Man.
And what happens when the party you don't like gets power? Are you suddenly going to say, well, I don't want that anymore? Or, you know, I mean, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
And where do you draw the lines? Now, of course, the government saying, hey, we plan on voting with the rest of the board most of the time. I'm like, well, okay.
Right.
Is that in writing, or are you just saying, I mean, what do you say? I mean, you're just saying that. And there's some other things in there. So, boy, there'd have to be some safety nets and some fail safes and some stuff in there that would be unbelievably rigid for me to think, yeah, good idea or good precedent to set. I'm not against the reasoning for it. I do love American-made and control of production for technological things at the forefront of things, right? But again, why just that industry? Why not, you know, where do you draw the line? And now, you know, why Intel? And why the U.S. government now is going to pick winners and losers in private industry, assuming that there's competitors.
Well, you've had
for Intel and other companies that they're going to have a stake in, and then suddenly they're part of private industry.
You've had members of Congress get rich off of Wall Street for years. I mean, and they're not doing it. You know, the outcry comes and then it goes away. You know, every 2 years it goes away.
And the way that they've done it indirectly in the past is because lobbyists come in and lobby, you know, and then there's lots of money, and then that sways somebody to vote one way or another. But now you're talking about direct ownership, which is another level of corruption in the light of day, potentially.
Potential corruption, right.
How it's not, I mean, for you to say that would be to, like, I believe most politicians are not about serving their own self-interest at the highest federal levels.
I sometimes think I invented the word. I invented the word allegedly. Sometimes I think, you know, because I use it so much in news copy. But we've got to go to make room for Coach.
Let's do it. He's texting me. It's a thought. It's a thought provoker for sure. So, look it up, everybody, and see what where they draw the line and what controls they have in there, and ask yourself if you're comfortable with it, because it's kind of a new thing, man. So anyways, enjoy your interview with Coach Thompson. Best of luck to the Knights this year. And everybody stay safe Labor Day weekend and enjoy.
I'll tell them that Brian Springberg got some high-quality H2O. How's that? You know, from Waterboy?
No.
You didn't play football? Or did
I
you?
Did play football.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying you would be a good Waterboy now.
Why?
Never mind. Well, you are in pretty good shape, but I don't know if you're in high school football shape.
No. Nowhere near where I was.
Right on. All right, thanks for being here, Brian. We got Coach Carl Thompson in the he's not in the green room. He's actually in a classroom, I believe, and he's on a break, so he's going to call in, and we're going to take that phone line. So if you want tickets to that musical showdown between Fleetwood Mac and Tom Petty, give us a call at the station, not here on the Speak Out line. 928-855-9336. 928-855-9336. Marissa June has lots of tickets for you. Coach Carl Thompson coming up next from the Lake Havasu High School Fighting Knights football team. We're back on Speak Out. Coach Carl Thompson awaiting our interview. Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Mojave Community College, also samsguns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Doritos Place, the Lewis Team Remax by the Lake, and Looky Lou's Antiques and Collectibles. And I was going to introduce you as the, it's your last season, but you won't confirm that. What's going on with that, Coach Carl Thompson? How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back and back into football mode. And, you know, we've had a good preseason, and we're excited for the start tomorrow afternoon.
Well, I'm hoping Mr. Greeley is not listening, because you told me something different than what I had heard. This was your last season, and you're still in the I don't know mode, right?
Very good chance.
That's right. You know, it's been a lot of excitement. You know, I've had a really good group of kids come through, great coaching staff, you know, a lot of people, great community supporting. So it's kind of hard to say, yeah, I'm just straight out and walking away from it. There's just so many good things to keep us going. And like I said, we're excited for it. You know, to get up in the little cooler weather to start off the season again. We were up there last week for our scrimmage, and now we get to double back and get to lead off in a great college environment playing at NAU in the dome there. So what a great experience for the kids.
Yeah, that's a really interesting dynamic up there. Tell me how that works. So there's only four teams that are invited, correct?
Well, there's four games going on.
Oh, four games.
So there's actually, we're game one of a triple header.
Oh.
So we play, Gila Ridge is coming up from Yuma, and they call it the Kickoff Classic, and this is something that they had that we had been a part of for like six or seven seasons prior to that 2020 season, and then it's now getting that same momentum that it had before. So we open up with Gila Ridge at one, and I want to say it's Needles and Monument Valley playing game two at four, and then the nightcap is going to be Flagstaff High School versus Marcus Deniza.
Hey, Needles is pretty good. We had the mayor in the studio. They play in the Nevada 2A, and I believe they won state last year in football.
Yeah, they did. They've had a couple good seasons in a couple of sports. They've been baseball, basketball, football. They're a good group of kids up there.
Their girls softball won state as well, and boys baseball was runner-up in state. So anyway, game time tomorrow, folks, is 1 o'clock, and again, it's from the Walk-Up Sky Dome at NAU, and it's on KNTR Sports, 980 AM only, and on the stream at KNTRSports.com. But I have a real concern about this 1 p.m. start time, Coach. I don't know what the noise is behind you, but it sounds like the fans are getting rabid already.
Well, we're just still in the PE office. You know, the 1 o'clock originally...
How do you get the players ready for 1 o'clock, though?
Well, it's funny because we already had walkthrough this morning. We went at 6 a.m. this morning.
Nice.
We went at 6 a.m. this morning to do our walkthrough and everything and, you know, get in that little routine.
Yeah?
So... it's been good. So we'll be the same thing depart tomorrow at the same time. So the kids, we've got them in that cycle, so doing that. So we'll be all right.
Yeah, they're kids. They're easy, right? They're circadian rhythms. They adjust.
They do. And, you know, again, I think for them, too, with our travel last week is our scrimmage to Flagstaff.
Uh-huh.
They know what the trip is going to be like. So we kind of had a trial run last week to do it again this week. So we were happy about that.
That's a really great strategy because you have a three-hour bus ride, I'm guessing, right? And, I mean, everything's going to seem like, it's not going to seem like the long ride that it was last week. But I wanted to get to the quarterback. All right. Last year, you had a little bit of a carousel going on. I believe it was like a three-person, what do you call that, by committee or whoever you put out there, if there was an injury in that. What about this year? What are we looking at quarterback?
Well, we do have a couple options, but our front runner right now is Tripp Burke. I mean, he was one of those guys that filled in different times for us last year. Good option-style quarterback's done a good job. Delivering the ball around our receivers and our backs and different people that we needed. So we're really excited about him coming back with us again this year. He has a tremendous amount of varsity experience from last season. When he didn't quarterback for us last year, he also played defensive back, corner, and he also was in our wide receiver core. So, you know, we expect some good things year two in the system with our offense coordinator, Riley Freeland. So we're really excited as we've grown into year two here on the offensive side to see where he develops to.
How many players do you have playing both sides of the ball?
Not as many as we have in past. We had 9 returners on defense from last season. So that was probably the biggest plus, which we have a couple guys that also platooned in there. So we probably have the most depth on the defensive side, probably about 8 deep on the defensive line with 4 of them playing at a time. Secondary, same thing. We have 3 guys back there. We're 2 deep there. Offensively, I mean, there's going to be some carryover back and forth depending on personnel packages, but we've been able to develop some depth. So that's what's been nice from last year to this year. I mean, 2 seasons ago, 16 guys started as sophomores for us,
wow,
and all of those guys are still in the program right now.
That's awesome. I was on a team like that, and good things happen, believe me. What do you think? You always talk about the bubble. You have this 3-year bubble, and then the players go through, and you kind of start over again as far as rebuilding goes. Where are you at in that rotation right now?
I think we're in the climb. Last year was that first step. You know, the year before was that low point where we only had 6 seniors in the program.
Right.
Last year was a big step up, so there was one. This is going to put us probably in that step 2 or 3 of the bubble right now, depending on, you know, how our junior class develops. We do have a big senior-junior class with just a handful of sophomores contributing. So we're probably on that upper end of that bubble right now. So we're really excited. I think we have 21 seniors in the program right now. You know, I think we have 47 that will dress out for the varsity game. So we're pretty happy with where we're at.
Compare your team, the Fighting Knights, to the rest of the conference, if you will. Where do you stand as far as those teams and the Fighting Knights go?
Well, when we look at it, I think that we're on the other end where we've been the last couple of years, knowing that we have a very senior-heavy group, where a lot of the teams that we inherited this year had that heavy senior group last year. So we've kind of transitioned in our conference play when you talk with Yonkers, Buckeye, Stray of Foothills. There were 3 programs that were very senior heavy, and now I think they're going to have to be in that rebuild. But again, it's Phoenix. They don't always have to rebuild. Sometimes they can just reshuffle.
Right. Now, you've been known to have some pretty good running backs, guys that run over defensive linemen or linebackers. Isaac Stopke, for example. Do you have that this year?
Well, you know, we do. We have a couple good guys that have been with us. They fall into that same category. The leading probably 2 guys at running back this year is going to be Kyle Crow and Tristan Andrade. They were both 2 of those sophomores that we took 2 years ago. And we expect them to both. They're both backs that have good breakaway speed. They have good field vision. They're very shifty. And they're both very power backs. So they don't mind to get in the mix and run between the tackles as well. So we're really excited to have those 2 guys. And then there's a couple other guys. Bridger Chaffant was a kid that was a freshman that moved up and played some varsity last year. He had two brothers that played in our program, and, you know, he's a real hard runner, too. So we've got some guys that fit that mold.
You got what's the experience like before high school with a lot of your team? They either play for the Chiefs or other programs, I would imagine, if they come in from the outside.
It's funny. There are several that have played through the Chiefs program. They came through the middle school. Some of them at the younger age played flag football with our local Parks and Rec program. But, you know, the nice thing is this whole group, a lot of them from their freshman year on, have been really committed to our off-season program and being a part of Lake Havasu football, spring football. So, you know, we've got a lot of excitement again in the whole program. We're probably about 100 kids again, which puts us in that triple-digit mark, which is super nice.
Well, we can't wait, Coach.
Excited about lots of different things. So there's lots of good things, a good receiver core coming back, good offensive line. So, you know, it should be very exciting tomorrow. That'll tell the tape.
I didn't know if you had finished your thought yet, so I apologize if I stepped on you there.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good.
Again, tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock on 980 AM only, or stream at KNTRSports.com, and you'll catch the Fighting Knights and the Gila Ridge Hawks from Flagstaff. We're really looking forward to it, Coach.
Well, we are, too, so we'll see you up there.
All right. Best of luck. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
That's Carl Thompson. Again, the Lake Havasu High School Fighting Knights head football coach. Fighting Knights football all season long. 10 games scheduled on KNTR Sports, AM, FM. Welcome to the team. Of course, those games on 980 AM only. All right, that does it for me, Paul Lavoie. I'm going to take it right up to the top of the hour. And Sean Hannity up next. I'll see you on Tuesday.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.